You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Day of Small Things. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
A listener from Indianapolis shared with me the story of her friend, Bertha. Bertha had married a widower with three teenage children, one of whom was somewhat rebellious, liking to break the rules. The years passed, the children matured, married, and pursued their individual careers. What became of that rebellious son? Strange turn of events, he became an ordained minister in Texas. Bertha's husband died, and Bertha, sad to tell, developed Alzheimer's and had to be moved into a nursing facility. Each summer, the minister's son left Texas to visit relatives in Indiana, and he would always stop to see his stepmother, Bertha. Because of the disease, she never acknowledged his presence. Still, it was on his heart to visit her each summer. He wanted to ask her for forgiveness for the rebellious ways of his youth, and he wanted to share his Christian faith. But as I said, each summer there was no hint of recognition. However, one summer it turned out differently. He walked into Bertha's room, as he had done every year, but this time she recognized him, said his name, and began a normal conversation. He seized that opportunity, that gift of the moment, to make amends with her for his youth and to share his faith. Soon, she slipped back into silence. Bertha never spoke again. But there had been this moment, a gift that would never have been enjoyed had the stepson not been so attentive to the small thing of faithfully visiting Bertha. The small things aren't very exciting, are they? Visiting a relative with Alzheimer's? What's the use? You are so busy. In a similar way, it's a small thing to call mom or dad, son or daughter. Sometimes you catch them at an inconvenient time and you think, maybe I shouldn't have called. Sometimes mom or dad, son or daughter think, I'm busy, or I'm tired, I don't have time for this conversation now. The small things, though, are where true faith is active. Don't worry about the big picture. Adam and Eve plunged humanity into sin. That was big, and that's been done. Don't fight the fact that you are a sinner. God sent his son Jesus into the world for us sinners. That was big. Oh, was that big. But it's been done. And we remember Christ's coming for us during this Advent. You don't have to come up with a solution to the world's most pressing problems. Jesus died on the cross to earn forgiveness for your sins, for mine. That was big. And, are you following my direction? That has been done. Death is a terrible enemy, but Christ rose and life has been won. The big things, the really big things, have been taken care of by God. He asks you to believe it and be saved. And then, giving glory to Him, you and I are called to the small things of our fellow man. In the 6th century before Christ, the big picture was the memory of the glories of Solomon's temple. If you listened last week, you heard how the glorious temple built by Solomon was destroyed in the year 586, and the people of Jerusalem and Judah were forced into the Babylonian captivity. In the year 539, the Jews were permitted to return home. 50,000 did, and after a false start, the returnees worked in earnest to build a new temple. But for those who recall the glorious temple of Solomon, a temple built at the height of Israel's kingdom, a temple with materials gathered by David and his international allies, a truly magnificent building, those who had the vision of that first building found the new construction pretty paltry. It was small stuff. Most surprising, God himself pointed out the insignificant beginning. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Two men named Zerubbabel and Joshua were the leaders of the people. When they heard God point out their paltry efforts, they must have thought, Lord, are even you trying to depress us? He wasn't. God was teaching that we live by faith, not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 teaches us. The small things of laying temple stones or visiting Bertha in the home are not done because they will command the world's attention. Graciously taking a phone call at an inconvenient time or reading a story to your child even though you are tired are surely small things. But they are also good works when you do them out of thankfulness to God. Remember, God has taken care of the big things in your life. He's provided for your redemption by sending Jesus. He's opened heaven to believers. Those are the big things he has done for you. Done graciously, as St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. In chapter 2, Paul says, God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. You had nothing to do with it. Being saved is a gift from God. It's not the result of anything you have done, so no one can brag about it. With your faith in the big things of God, you should pay attention to the small things. Paul goes on and says, God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he has prepared for us to do. And so God's people are not discouraged from the small, seemingly inconsequential things because we live by faith, not by sight. When the beginnings of the Second Temple seemed so paltry, God gave his people a thrilling promise through the prophet Zechariah. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In her best-selling book, Divorce Busting, therapist Michelle Wiener Davis tells the story of George and Paula. They had been married for 8 years, but fighting for the last two. Michelle Wiener Davis writes, after a couple of weeks, Paula made an offhanded comment that she knew things were getting better when, instead of beginning her day by fighting with George, he surprised her with a kiss one morning. Although in the words of a well-known song, a kiss is just a kiss, in matters of marital problem-solving, a kiss is much more than a kiss. I asked Paula, after George kissed you, what difference did that make to how the rest of your day went? She replied, I was so surprised. It caught me off guard. But it was a pleasant surprise. After my shower, I went downstairs, and hoping he would come and join me, I made a pot of coffee. We used to drink coffee together often, but lately the tradition has fallen by the wayside. Then George joined in. I smelled the coffee, got dressed, and came down for a cup. We actually had a pleasant conversation, something really different for us recently. George and Paula's marriage was getting back on track because the therapist had impressed upon them the importance of small things. This is the way the Bible tells us to do it. Writing to wives who were concerned because their husbands were not Christians, St. Peter urged them to pay attention to the small things of conduct. Some husbands, he writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, may not obey God's word. Their wives could win these men for Christ by the way they live without saying anything. Their husbands would see how pure and reverent their lives are. Is a kiss just a kiss? Are the small things around your home insignificant, not worth your bother? Putting away your dirty dishes? Letting your husband have some quiet time? Listening to your wife talk about her day? Helping with the kids? Remembering that the house, unlike the oven, isn't self-cleaning? Faith in the promises of God motivates us to do these small things that many people disdain. Who despises the day of small things? Zechariah said, men will rejoice. And they did rejoice when the second temple was completed. The small things added up, and that building proved to be a great blessing. It stood and served God's people longer than Solomon's temple had, lasting until it was leveled by the Romans in 70 AD. Today God has a temple. It's His holy Christian church. Ephesians chapter 2 says that the church, here the word church does not refer to buildings or earthly denominations, but rather the people who are drawn by the good news of Christ to gather in faith around God's word and the sacraments. This church, says Ephesians, is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. As the second temple was built, stone by petty stone, but to the good of God's people, so the number of those saved for eternity is increased by the small things that the people of Christ do. It was a small thing for the stepson to visit Bertha, but she was added to the church, a living stone in God's spiritual temple. A friend loves at all times, says Proverbs 17, verse 17. Guadalupe and daughter Valentina came from Mexico to spend a year in the States. They lived in East Lansing, Michigan. There, Guadalupe began to attend a class led by Mrs. Carol Selle. Carol wrote about Guadalupe's last time in that Monday class. I asked Guadalupe to share the best and the most difficult experiences she had in America. Tears immediately streamed down her face as she shared the most difficult experience, the loneliness she faced because of the lack of relationships in her life. She stated that Americans are friendly, but do not understand relationships. Our class was her best experience. This was her place where she found nurturing, caring, and friendships. Carol Selle continues, the outcome of this special friendship with Guadalupe was the opportunity to share Jesus' love. Guadalupe said that upon her return to Mexico, she would have Valentina baptized and would begin to attend worship again. Jesus says in Luke 15, verse 10, I can guarantee that God's angels are happy about one person who turns to God and changes the way he thinks and acts. You think you're too busy to be a friend to the friendless? Who despises the day of small things? Men will see and rejoice. Or consider the little thing that Tony did. My friend Chuck Sampson is active in prison ministry, and he shared the following story with me. A story that begins with a man named Nicholas. Nicholas, Chuck wrote, is a Mexican national who was arrested in Chicago for murder. He spoke little English, but began coming to my Bible class with another Mexican named Tony. Because Tony spoke English pretty well, he helped Nicholas understand the reading in class. Many Hispanic men will stay away from Bible classes because they cannot understand or speak English. Chuck continues, Nicholas loved to study the Bible. One day he said he would like to donate some money. I wanted to know the motivation behind his desire to give. Nicholas told me that he wanted to give because God had given him so much through Christ. I was impressed. In time, Nicholas was sent to Mexico to finish his sentence. I may never see Nicholas this side of heaven, but I will always know him. He is a true Christian brother and a beloved son of God. Another living stone added to God's redeemed people, added because of the small thing that Tony was willing to translate for Nicholas. God's angels are happy about one person who turns to God and changes the way he thinks and acts. Who despises the day of small things? Men will see and rejoice. O God, we pray, your Son, our Savior Jesus, taught that whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with a lot. Whoever is dishonest with very little is dishonest with a lot. Give us such an appreciation for all the blessings that are ours through Christ's coming, and give us a faith so dependent upon Him for our salvation that we will never disdain the small good works we can do for others, but at all times and in every place let our faith be active in love to Your glory and to our good. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.